promises, Lord, that we get to embrace today, that we get to live today, we get to believe them today. We get to see, Lord, how you fulfill your great word. And I ask, Lord, that as we open this word today, that God, that you'd speak to us, you'd show us some great and mighty things about it. And that, Lord, that the word would reach our heart, Lord, would just move, Lord, with just this conviction and just this direction, Lord, of that we're going to follow this. We're going to follow you and do all that you've asked us to do and not turn back by the power of the Spirit of God. Come, Lord, illumine us. Come, open our eyes to see, our hearts to understand. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you have your Bibles, we're going to end up actually in 2 Corinthians 9, but I want us to start in Deuteronomy chapter 30 for a moment. We are in the middle of our freedom series, and we've been talking about being free from worry and fear. And this concludes a two-part series on freedom from worry over lack. Freedom over worry of lack for lack. And what I mean by that is that we look at our lives, and I hear this all the time, statements like this: I lack the power to be what God wants me to be. I don't have the resources or the money or the things to really get along in life. There's no way that God can use me because of my past, because I lack freedom from guilt and shame. I can't quit this sin because I lack self-control. There's no way I can teach that class or operate in my giftedness because I just lack the time. I just don't have the time. I don't have the money. I don't have the time. I don't have the resources. I won't do that because I lack the fortitude to do what I know is right. I'm afraid that I'll not have enough money when I retire. I'm afraid for what my children will not have in this life to be what they need to be. I worry about not having enough. I worry about the lack of insight or wisdom to make the right choices in life. Jesus says, stop it. Stop worrying. Stop being unbelieving about who God is in your life and what God has provided and what God intends to do in your life from this on out. This as we walk this life out. That God comes and gives, as we've sung, everything that I need to face whatever I'm facing. Whether it's good, whether it's bad, whether it's ugly, whether it's beautiful. That I have what God says I have, and therefore I want to move with it. I want to walk in it. It's interesting, a couple of weeks ago we talked about in Matthew where Jesus said, hey, look at the birds of the air, they don't sow. They don't reap, they don't gather in the barns, your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? Matter of fact, if you're worrying, you'll probably decrease the hours of your life. Jesus said, look at the lilies of the field. They don't toil, they don't spin. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today, and tomorrow is thrown in the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, little faith? So we spoke a whole lot last week about we must walk in this faith that our Heavenly Father values us, that he cares for us, and that he will always, always provide for us. Some of you may be in financial straits today. Some of you may be in spiritual straits. Some of you may be in emotional straits. We serve a God who comes to fill up that which is lacking. We serve a God who comes to fill up that which is lacking in any area of our lives. He comes to fill it up. And Jesus said in that passage in Matthew that you're to seek first the kingdom of his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. It is the promise that we embrace with faith, that our God loves us, cares for us, and promises us not to lack in any good thing that he desires to do in our lives. I'm not talking about, you know, I'm not talking about being a super Christian or about having lots and lots of money or walking in so much wealth and that's what God desires. No. And you also know that I'm not talking about that life gets rough, it gets tough, that we do suffer in this life. There are hardships, that there are things in this life that has not been won over yet to the kingdom of God, because this is a fallen place, fallen people, a fallen earth, a fallen system. It's not perfect. Paul said it this way. He said, my outer man is decaying, but my inner man is being renewed. Being renewed actually from the glory to glory is what he would say. The things of this world, they decay. Please hear what I'm saying. When we talk about lack, and we talk about decrease, we talk about something that is of the fallenness of man, and the fallenness of this earth. But we got a God who comes not to take away, but he comes to give. The thief comes to steal. The thief comes to kill and destroy. But I came that you might have life and you might have it abundantly. But let's just talk a little bit about lack. You know, most of the time when we talk about lack, we talk about money. Not enough money. And it's the source of argument in your household. It can be the source of argument with your kids or with your spouse. They say that money is one of the top three things that brings discord to a marriage. Money or the lack of it. And I know that you have to have money to get along, right? I mean, you do. You're wearing clothes that you bought with money, right? You're going to eat lunch today that you buy with money. And I know that it's a very valuable part of our lives. But yet, most of us in this place spend our lives worrying about the lack of money or the lack of resources than we do trusting in the great God who always wants to give increase and always wants to provide everything that we need. Am I right there? We spend so much time worrying about our lives. And you can be free from that worry. And I want to tell you this, I believe that you can be free from this lack that causes you to be so distracted. You know, I was thinking about this whole thought a couple of weeks ago. You know, I just believe that oftentimes we lack because of our own individual poor choices. We lack because we didn't do it right. We didn't do it according to God's pattern. We lack in this life because we didn't trust Him. We trusted our hands more than our God. We trusted our mind more than our great God. We trusted things and stuff more than we trust our God. And we make poor choices. And I mean, you don't have to go far to see poor choices about resources and money and spiritual things. People who gamble, people who embezzle, people who do all kinds of things with money, people who waste money, people who don't give money, who don't give of their resources. We lack because of our own individual poor choices. And in this passage of scripture in Deuteronomy, where Moses is speaking his last farewell, he says to them in verse 15, "See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity." Isn't that interesting? Here is what I got for you. I've got this life and prosperity here, and on this side of it, it is death and adversity. I set this before you. I'm going to say this. This has not changed with the coming of grace of God. This doesn't change with the cross. This doesn't change. There's always a choice. Jesus calls it the wide road that leads to destruction, or the small road that leads to life, eternal life, abundance. You always have a choice. Josh said, "Choose you this day whom you'll serve." We will serve God. We will not serve the gods of this age. We'll not serve these things that everybody else is serving. We'll serve our great God.
I set before you today life and prosperity and death and adversity. And I want to ask the question. I ask the question of you. I ask the question of you watching online. Maybe someone who's listening to this one day in a radio broadcast. Is it, what are you choosing today? Because I'm telling you, choice equals a lot. The things that you choose to do in this life, whether it's to continue to click on pornography, whether it continues to you continue to lie to your spouse, whether you continue to entertain lustful thoughts, you continue to walk in anger and unforgiveness. It is a choice. You have a choice. But you also have this choice to say no to sin and to say yes to God and say yes to His life. I'm setting before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. And I'm commanding you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, to keep His commandments, His statutes, His judgments. In other words, that you keep His word, that you may live and multiply, and that the Lord God may bless you in the land where you are entering to possess it. But if your heart turns away and you do not obey, but you are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You will not prolong your days in the land where you're crossing the Jordan to enter and possess it. I'm calling heaven and earth to witness against you today that I've set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants, by loving the Lord your God, by obeying His voice, and by holding fast to Him. Now watch what He says. For this is your life. This is the length of your days, that you may live in this land, that you may live in this place which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Listen to this. Listen to it again. This is your life. What is your life? I love the Lord my God. I listen to His voice and obey it, and I hold fast to Him. That's your life. That's your life. He says, listen, I'm setting this before you that if you'll walk after me, you will see blessing. Am I saying that there won't be trouble and there won't be hardship in these days? No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying there will be blessing. And I would tell you, when you live according to this, you live according to promises, yeah, there's some disappointments. Yeah, there's some heartache. Yeah, there's some things that are done to you. Yeah, there's some things that come along that didn't work out in your job or in your career. Yeah, there's things like that that happen. But my great God, listen to me. My great God says, listen, I want to use those things that have been negative, those things that have been hard, those things that have been negative, to build you to the next place of glory, the next place of promise, the next place of care, the care character of Christ, the next place that God wants you to be, at peace with Him and with your neighbor, and peace with your husband and your children and your wife. I want to bring you to the places, because I am the one that causes all these things to work out for your good. It's all about keeping our eyes on the one thing. And that's what He's saying here. That's what He said. Go to just for a moment to Deuteronomy chapter 28, just a couple of pages back, and I want you to notice what He says. And we won't go through all of this. It's a long passage of Scripture, but we talked about this in the marriage class today, about covenant and when God makes covenant, and when people made covenant in those days. And one of the parts of the ceremonies of covenant was that there was a series of blessings spoken and curses spoken. Blessings if you keep this covenant, curses if you don't keep this covenant. In other words, folks, listen to me. No matter how long you've been walking with Christ, there's still consequences to your sin. It may not be eternal, but there are consequences. Sin devastates. And I just, some of the periods of your lives, some of the times of your lives that you gave over to the flesh and you gave over to the enemy and you gave over to that thing called adversity and death, curse. And you know what I'm talking about, because it never brought peace. It never brought what you were looking for. It never satisfied you. And this satisfies, He says, this will satisfy you.
And he says this. He says, listen, if you'll diligently obey the Lord, if you'll diligently follow him, you'll follow his ways, these blessings will come upon you, verse 2, and overtake you if you obey the Lord. See, now, are you talking about law here? No, I'm talking about the grace of God that empowers you to do whatever God asks you to do in this life. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the grace in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14, that says this grace of God appears, bringing salvation to you and instructing you to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live righteously, godly, and sensibly in this present age. I'm talking about the grace of God. Can you do this on your own without Christ? No, you can't. You can't. But I want to tell you, there's promises. There's promises everywhere. I mean, you think about Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount when he says, hey, if you hear these words and do these words, if you obey these words, you'll build your life on the rock so that when that trial does come, when those hardships do come, the rock still stands, the house still stands alive and well and great because you heard the word and you did the word. You heard it and you obeyed it. It's no different than what he's talking about here. A strong house, a strong family, a strong marriage, a strong life for Christ. Why? Because in these areas of my life that I've struggled with, I finally began to say yes to God with. And I wouldn't turn to the right or the left, that when God would ask me to do something, I would do and I'd run to go do that. That's why you've often hear from me and you'll always hear from me in messages like this. What is the last thing that God's asked you to do that you haven't done? Will you run to it today? Will you run to do what God asks you to do? Because that's where life is found. And Jesus comes and he gives us dies for us and he spills his blood for us and he saves us by faith, not by these works. These works don't save you. What saves you is faith, but this faith has power in it. If this faith has, this faith has action to it. And so notice what he says. Listen, these things will overtake you. Blessed you'll be in the city and you'll be in the country. Blessed will be the offspring of your body, the produce of your ground, the offspring of your beast, the increase of your herd, the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you go out and when you come in. Blessed the Lord will cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. They will come out against you one way, but will flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing upon you in your barns and all that you put your hand to, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, as he swore to you, if you keep his word, the word of the Lord, Yahweh, your God, and walk in his ways. And all the peoples of the earth will see that you are called by the name of Yahweh, of Lord, and they will be afraid of you. And the Lord will make you abound in prosperity, in the offspring of your body, in the offspring of your beasts, in the produce of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give. And the Lord will open for you his good storehouse in the heavens, to give rain in your land. Hey, we need rain, don't we? Give rain in your land. Someone said to me, hey, you need to be praying for rain. I might have said this already. I've said it to a bunch of people. I'm praying for a weather change, a weather pattern change that continues to soak us. But listen, he says, this is what I'll do. I'll bring rain in your land in its season to bless all the work of your hand, and you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. Why? Because you won't have to. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you only will be above, and you will not be underneath. If you listen to the words of the Lord your God, which I charge you today, and observe them carefully, and do not turn aside from them, of the words which I command you today to the right or the left, to go after the other gods, to serve them. Listen, right choices, making right choices will cause gain in your life, not lack. It may look different sometimes. I mean, I'm going to tell you, there's sometimes that in our lives, that we didn't have two nickels to rub together. Amen. Have you ever been there? There have been times when we were keeping a friend's house and we were out of food. It was seminary days, and I mean, paycheck was coming the next day or the day after, and we were just flat out. We didn't have anything in the cupboard, and we went over, and they were already on Christmas break and good friends, and we went to their cupboard, and we looked around, and we found a bag of chips, and they were stale. So we had stale chips that night. Yes, and I've been there. I'm not saying that these things don't happen. These things will happen. Trials will come.
But that doesn't negate the blessing and the power and the glory of God to provide what you need in that day. Because I want to tell you, 24 hours later, we had a check and we had food. And then a few hours after that, we were home for Christmas and we got a lot going on then. Amen. And so a lot of provision. But I'm telling you this because I just really believe that right choices make great outcomes, and wrong choices make horrible, horrible outcomes, because sin devastates. Matter of fact, and I won't go through all of these, but he says, listen, there's consequences. Verse 15, because you know, we gain because of right choices. We lack because of our own individual poor choices. It shall come about if you do not obey the Lord your God to observe all these things that I've commanded you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Cursed you'll be in the city and in the country. Cursed you'll be with your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the offspring of your body and the produce of your ground, the increase of your herd and the young of your flock. Cursed shall be when you come in and go out. He'll send curses, confusion, rebuke. Listen, it just goes on and on. There's consequences to sin, poor choices. We lack spiritually, we lack emotionally, we lack on a consistent basis. I'm talking consistent here, a lifestyle of lack, because there's a string of poor choices behind us. But we gain in this life when we're consistently doing the things that God asks us to do. And what's so wonderful about the things that God asks us to do on this side of the cross and this side of Pentecost is that he sends his Holy Spirit to teach you how to live in Jesus so you find gain in your life and not lack. Let me ask you a question. You don't need to raise your hand unless you're bold enough. How many of you are struggling with money right now and finances? Is there anybody in here struggling? Oh, gosh, there's a few of you, aren't you? Anybody else? How about high school students or y'all? No, you're living with parents, right? Struggling. And there's lack. And I know some of us in here, we have seasonal jobs as well. If you're a farmer and you're seasonal, and there's some things that go on in life. And, you know, I want to tell you that there was a season in my life that I fretted incessantly over finances, over lack. And, you know, it's in those days that, you know, you got three kids in automobiles, you got three kids in insurance, you've got things like that that are just, I mean, I had a friend say, hey, when they all graduate and go away, it'll get better, you know. But it was still hard. It was still difficult. And, you know, I look back over those days and I realize something, that really we never, ever lacked. We never really lacked. We had what we needed. We never missed a bill. We always paid on time. We always established the great credit scores. I mean, and even in the things that I thought, there's no way that I can be living the way we're living with the salary that I'm living on. And yeah, we had a little credit card debt, and we had a little bit of this and that. But I just want to tell you, God always, always provided. But I found out something, and it's just interesting to me. I feel like God showed us how to gain in this life by listening to some of the things he had to say about finances. So what I want you to do is I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 11. And I want to just tell you this personally, with a risk. This is a risk, okay, to say this to you. But I just want you to know, I believe that I'm blessed, Johnny and I are blessed, and our children are blessed, because we gave. Because we give. There is a phenomenal passage of scripture here where the context is where Paul is taking an offering of the churches to bring to the people in Jerusalem because of a great famine. And they've been collecting money and they've been collecting gifts to send to this people in need. And it's just interesting to me because he goes on this discourse about generosity and about being generous with your money.
And I'm just going to tell you this is not just about money. This is about your time and generous with your giftedness and generous with your words. I mean, it goes along the same pattern of this thought of reaping what you sow. And it's a powerful passage of scripture. And so in the middle of it, he was saying, listen, I want you to know, you get to be a part of this service. You get to be a part of this giving. You get to be a part of the kingdom of God with your money. And so he moves through this generosity piece in chapter 8, and he's talking about it. And then he goes to verse, where are we, 6. He says, I say this. He who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you will have an abundance for every good deed. Because it's written, he scattered abroad and gave to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Verse 10, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You'll be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanks. Giving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of saints, but it's overflowing through many thanksgivings to God because of the proof given by the ministry that they will glorify God in your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ and for the liberality of your contribution to them and to all, while they also by prayer on your behalf yearn for you because of the surpassing grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. This passage of scripture is so powerful because, you know, we're not just talking about a church that's rich. You're talking about a church full of poor people. Now, there are rich people there, and there are folks who are poor and everyone in between. But he's looking at a group of people who are saying to this, we want to be a part. We want to be a part of the kingdom. We want to be a part of this project. We want to be a part of this. And really, the only way they could be a part of it by praying is just by giving, the giving of their resources. They didn't have to go. They didn't have to do anything. They prayed and they gave. They prayed and they gave. And he says, listen, this kind of giving will produce in you not lack, but gain. And it's interesting because I look at this passage of scripture, I see a mathematical equation of some sort, and it's this, it's give beautifully, bountifully, plus cheerfully, plus expectantly, equals being extremely blessed. Listen, the givers in this place know what I'm talking about. When I give bountifully, when I give generously and not stingily. You know, I heard a guy say this week, he said, you know, one day I went to a ball game and he said, I had to spend $50 in gas to go. I had to buy the tickets that cost $100. It was $150. And then the concessions, they were okay, but I spent another $50. And then he said, I sat on bleachers and watched my team lose. And he said, I went home, and Sunday, I put $5 in the plate. He didn't say this, but he just said, I think he would say, uh-oh. There was just something in that what he said was that there's something just came, a light came on about priorities. I mean, there's nothing wrong with going to a baseball game, bringing your kids and doing that. But I just think he saw the vast difference in his spending on himself as opposed to his giving to his church. And it struck him. And it struck him deeply. I want to be generous, not stingy. And this passage of scripture is saying if you'll give generously and then you'll do it cheerfully and then you do it expectantly, God will rain down his greatest blessings upon you. Now, I'm going to say this again, and it's you know, this is really not about money. It's about my heart. It's about what I have in my heart. Bible says where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. And I just think sometimes when we get into these places of lack or these places of uncertainty, that what happens is we quit giving bountifully. And what happens is we're no longer cheerful when we do give. And then there's not this expectancy of what God could do in the gift I'm given today. And therefore, I walk away not blessed by the gift. And so he says in verse 6, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. It's an agricultural piece. It's an agricultural point. Very apropos to us in this audience today. Very apropos in the rural areas. We know that if we go to a garden and we seed a couple of seeds for tomatoes, we're not going to get a lot of tomatoes. Oh, we'll get some, but we won't get a lot. I mean, if you just plant three tomato plants, you're not going to have enough to do any kind of salsa, right? You're not going to have enough to do just some kind of tomato juice or tomato. You know what I'm talking about. You're just going to have enough to do a little bit. Maybe have fresh tomatoes with your sandwich. If you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. If you sow generously and abundantly, he says, listen, you're gonna reap. You're gonna reap abundantly. And he says, listen, so what he's talking about in here is, listen, you guys, for this past year, and this is the context of the passage, you have been pledging that you will give. And it's interesting, I was reading this past week, and so I'm glad I didn't get to this last week, because I could tell you this week. And that day, people who made pledges with their money and didn't give, they were called pledge breakers. And they even have an ancient kind of newspaper, I mean, not a newspaper, but a kind of a board that would list people who were pledge breakers. Thought, ugh. Because how many times did you make a pledge and you broke it? A promise, and you broke it. How many times has Fritcher made a pledge, promise, said something that he was going to do, and didn't do it? I don't want to be a pledge breaker. Psalmist once says, listen, blessed is a man who swears to his own hurt, but he doesn't change. He does it anyway. Even if it hurts the pocketbook, even if it hurts, he makes the pledge, and these are people who've made the pledge, and he's reminding them, listen, don't break the pledge. I'm coming for this offering. Don't break the pledge. This is what you've promised. This is what you've said you would do. And I'm telling you this because if you'll sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. This is the law of increase. It's the principle of increase. And it's a broad stroke of all that we do. Keep your place here and go to Luke chapter 6, if you would. Luke chapter 6. And notice what he says about this increase on giving and what we give and what we see. What God does. So chapter 6, and we're going to look at verse 27. I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Now, why would I do that? That doesn't make sense. Well, it makes sense is because you reap what you sow. And if you don't do good, even to your enemies, and you don't pray for your enemies, you're sowing something that's not good, and you're going to reap it back. And this is the kingdom principle. He says, whoever hits you on the cheek, offer him the other also. Whoever takes away your coat, don't withhold your shirt from him either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back. Treat others the same way you want them to treat you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. Hey, can I ask you something? Some people say, you're just doing it all for bad motives. Wrong motives. You know how many times he says, hey, what credit is to you? It's credit to you. It's credit to you. It's credit to you. It's credit to you to do this.
Quit making excuses. Quit making excuses. If you lend to those whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be called, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to ungrateful and even evil men. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, here it is, or you will be judged. You reap what you sow. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Pardon, and you will be pardoned. Here it is. Give, and it will be given to you. They will pour it into your lap, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. I'm going to tell you something. God has been so good. In our days of lack, or we think that we're lacking, I just make a commitment to give more. This is why. I'm going to tell you this is why. Because from man's point of view, it doesn't make sense. And usually if it doesn't make sense what God says, it's something that's really, really good. And I'm just telling you over and over and over and over, and I could give you examples, and I really, you know, hey, when is the last time I talked about money? Y'all don't even remember because so long ago. And some of you rebuke me for that. So if you're new to us, first day, sorry. But I just feel like I'm not being a good pastor if I'm not telling you and sharing with you the great benefits of doing what God says to do with your resources, with your gifts, with your time. Because God shows you what to do and how to do it. And if I don't teach you on this main point, which money is, I think, talked about 2,000 times in Scripture, then I become a pretty poor pastor. Because whenever you see giving instructed, you always see the promise of a blessing, of credit, of gain, not loss. And you see this in this passage of Scripture in Luke chapter 6, and then you see it in the basic scriptures of giving. You see, listen, if you're good at mercy, I mean, you're going to get mercy back. If you're good at judging and condemning, you're going to get judgment and condemning back on you. If you're good at giving resources, giving time, and you're doing that, and you're doing it abundantly and generously, I want to tell you, and you're doing it, like we're going to see in a minute, cheerfully and expectantly, I want to tell you, you will be extremely blessed. You will be extremely blessed. And I'm telling you, every scripture that speaks of giving always talks about getting something back. And you know, we ought to be expectant of that. But I'll tell you this. There's been so many times that we just have felt impressed to do something, and we've done it. And within 2 days, unexpectedly, it comes back, and it comes back more. Why? Because this is the scriptural principle that Paul's talking about when he's talking about taking this offering for these people and this project. And so I want to go through just real quickly just some of these passages of scriptures that we're talking about. So turn to Malachi chapter 3, if you would. Malachi chapter 3. If you're new to your Bible, go to Matthew, which is the first book in the New Testament, and turn left and you will be there. Malachi chapter 3. And he's verse 8. I first heard this passage when I was 8 or 9 years old, and I'll never forget it. Pastor George Fazell was preaching it. My mom had been teaching us to tithe ever since we were babies. I'm not saying babies. As far as long as I can remember, I knew what it meant to tithe. Now, the word tithe means 10%. That's what it means. It means 10%. So whenever I got $5 for birthday from my grandmother, we put 50 cents in. I mean, that's just what we did. It was just rote. I mean, it was just that. And it's something that we were taught to do because God asked you to do it, but also that God would bless you if you would do it. The third thing is that you could really, really get a whole lot out of giving. Emotionally, spiritually, in every area of your life. So when I did, so it was just something ingrained in us. You've heard me say this before, you know. And then not only did that, but when we didn't have anything to give, she always gave us a quarter to give. Always gave a quarter. Every week, quarter. Unless we had money that came in. And then we didn't get the quarter, we put in more. And I'm just going to tell you, Mom, if you're watching this, thank you. Thank you. Because I want to tell you this. If you can give your money, you can give anything. I've seen it over and over and over. If you can give that and know that Jesus is enough, you'll give it and you'll know everything's enough. Because that's who he is. And that's what he does. Now, I want you to see what he says in verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you're robbing me. Well, you say, how have we robbed you? You've robbed me in tithes and offerings. And because of it, you're cursed with the curse, for you're robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this sense. And watch this, test me if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. And then I'm going to come, I'm going to rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. And all the nations will call you blessed because you shall be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. I don't know what it is about human nature, but we can look at that verse of Scripture and feel a pit in our stomach because God might be asking us to tithe again and miss the whole passage. Test me in this. Watch me do this. Watch me if I won't pour out heaven's blessing. Now listen, folks, I'm not talking about God coming and making right all your wrong choices or my wrong choices in 1 week or 2 weeks. Because I'm going to tell you this. I see this all the time. I see it all the time. There's this, okay, I gave them. You said I'd get something. I'm not talking like that. Let me just tell you what I've seen. Maybe you've experienced this. You've heard a message like this and you've started giving. I'm going to do this every week. And you get started and within the second week, man, things are happening. Things are popping. I mean, I'm just seeing blessing after blessing and I keep doing it. And all of a sudden, a month goes by and 2 months goes by and 3 months goes by and 4 months goes by and there's nothing happening like it was happening. And all of a sudden you think, oh, I'm just going to quit. Do you know what this is? This is an agricultural picture. When you sow, hey, how many farmers are in here who plow up your land? Okay, you plow up your land and you plant. Any? Oh my gosh, where did y'all all go to? Okay, there. So Raymond, you know, when I have met with farmers and they plow their land and they plant their seed, when that first sprout comes out, they are so joyful. Is that right? Okay, I want to just say that's first fruit. That's promise, but that's not the head. And what happens is folks sow and where they've never sowed before, and a blessing pops up. Oh, man, a blessing. But that blade of grass is nothing compared to the seed that's coming. And that's why you've got to keep being faithful to water and to fertilize and to pray for rain and to ask God to send blessing and to do all the things that you know you need to do to be faithful in your job and in your planting. But it's just first fruit. And we don't wait until it heads out and all of a sudden that one seed becomes 50 or 100 seed. And then you look at the whole field and you marvel. And you marvel for the 20th year. Or the 50th year that you've seen it. It came up. It grew. And it produced this fruit. Why? Because you sowed. And this is what he's saying here. Listen, I'm going to do this for you. If you'll do this, if you'll make this commitment and not break the pledge, I will do this for you. See if I won't. I want to ask the question, please don't answer it, but how many of you started giving, and it may not be the tithe or anything, but you started giving because you were convicted of it, and you did. You saw some things immediately happen, but then you got frustrated when you saw that it did not keep on going. Can I tell you something? That's life in everything. If you're going to sow good word into people's lives, if you're going to sow not just resources, but you're going to sow forgiveness in people's lives, if you're going to sow the word in people's lives, if you're going to give time to children, time to youth, time to Sunday school class, time to relationships, you know, it's like the honeymoon. The honeymoon is great. I mean, it's that first fruit. And then all of a sudden, the honeymoon's over. But the seed's not here yet. And what happens is we become disobedient. And I just look at this passage of Scripture, and I revel in it. I revel in it because it says, watch me do this. You know, Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. I also see that not only do I tithe, not only do I give 10%, but there's sometimes I give alms. I give people in need. People come along and we give. We pull money out of our pocket and we give. Sometimes we have a little extra money, and sometimes we carry it around. And I just tell you, it's just a blessing. So I give the tithe, I give to those less fortunate than me, and they may not be less fortunate, they just might be going through a rough time. But notice Proverbs 19:17 on the screen, one who's gracious to the poor lends to a poor man, lends to the Lord. One who's gracious to a poor man lends to the Lord, and he, God, will repay him for his good deed. And I just tell you, it's just simple. It's just simple. It may be difficult, but it's simple. Let me say one other thing. You give the tithe, you give to those less fortunate, you give to offerings sometimes. And I'm going to be honest with you again. I have no problem giving a tithe. No problem. Done it all my life. But boy, ask me to give an offering, and I start counting. Not as much as I used to. That's difficult. Give them tithing, give them offering. You know, and plus I'm giving taxes to the government. I mean, what? I feel your pain. I do. But I just have seen it over and over and over that if I walk by the Spirit with my money, what in the world could God do? You know, speaking of the Spirit, look at this passage of Scripture, because we're to give all that we have to the Spirit. The tithe is a portion, but we're to give our whole life to the Spirit. Look at Galatians 6:7 on the screen. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will reap. Next, for the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. So this is not just about money or resources. This is about life, of generous life that gives. Gives of myself, gives of my time, gives my attention to things. To be a giver and not a taker. We give bountifully. Second, and I promise you these next two points won't go as long. Second, we give cheerfully. If you go back to your passage, he says, listen, I want you to give. You give this gift as you've pledged, as you said you would do it, as you've committed. You give it abundantly. You give it bountifully. But you must do it as you've purposed in your heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, because God loves a cheerful giver. So we give abundantly, but we give it cheerfully. Now, why do we give it cheerfully? We had an elder here at one time, Bob Conger, who would always talk about giving hilarious. I'm just going to be hilarious about my giving, you know. And he was a giver. And he was a hilarious giver. And I often wonder, why do I give cheerfully? Because I know if I sow bountifully, I'm going to reap bountifully. It means I know the secret of what giving is and what giving does. Listen, please don't just see this as money. See this as when you go home and you give to your spouse attention. You give to your spouse the things that she needs or he needs. And watch the return. I mean, if I'm going to come home and sit and watch TV or Facebook and not give, how would I expect to reap the things that God wants me to reap in my marriage and in my children's lives and in my relationships with other people and at work? We have the Spirit of God living in our lives, the Spirit of Jesus, who was God's first and best. And we're to reflect that, folks. We're to reflect it. And you know, I say this with all confidence in the world. If you will begin to ask God about these things and obey Him, I'm going to tell you, you will be free from the worry of lack. This is how you get free from the worry of lack, even when you have lack or less than you had last year. You will quit it. You will be free from it. Why? Because you are exercising the principles of Scripture. You are the principles of reaping and sowing. So we give cheerfully, and then we give expectantly. And then we finish with this, and I'm just going to read it. There's a checklist in your notes. He talks about you'll abound in grace. Okay, look, watch this. Verse 10, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for the food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything of all liberality, all liberality which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. This ministry of service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but it's also overflowing through many thanksgivings. So notice, you'll abound in grace. You'll have everything you need to keep on giving. Isn't that great? I love that thought. You'll have everything you need to keep on giving. That's what he says. The abundance in your giving. You'll have everything you need in the abundance of your giving. You'll be enriched in everything. Your ministry will supply to the needs of the saints. And your giving will produce many thanksgivings to God. Will you pray with me right now? Will you do that? When my mom married my dad, they were 17 years old. They were juniors in high school. Hey, y'all can look at me for this one, okay? Y'all can look at me for this one. Okay. They're 17 years old. They ran away to Biloxi, Mississippi for a day to get married and come back and to hide it for a year. Y'all like this, 17-year-olds? Right. And they found out that day. Okay, found out that day. And one set of grandparents wanted it annulled, and the other said, no, they live with us, they love each other, they make a go of it. We celebrate 60 years. Their 60th year anniversary in May. My dad became a plumber's helper. He was also a professional fighter at that time. Actually, he was still an amateur. And a great athlete, a lot of things going, but quit school, dropped out because they got married. So he didn't finish the 11th grade, started as a plumber's helper, okay? And within 3 or 4 years, by the time he was in his early 20s, was just doing awesome. He didn't come to Christ until he was 27, but the day that they got the first check when they were married, she wrote a $10 check out for the church. And he said, what are you doing? Oh, we're going to tithe. We can't afford to tithe. Have you ever said that? I can't afford to tithe. You know, when I was 8 years old, I was telling you about the first time I heard this message, a guy came up and he said, the testimony, his dad asked him, son, are you tithing? He said, dad, I can't afford not to tithe. 8 years old. Okay. 8 years old. Now, we're going to give this money. This is what God asked us to do. Now, I said, 17 years old, first paycheck, write the 10%. You know, they're just starting out. when they get into their 20s, he owns his own business. He's doing 6 or 7 undergrounds a day. I mean, he is just working, and he's just producing, and things are going. And so he's not a Christian yet. He doesn't come to Christ at 27. And he says, hey, don't ever stop that tithing. Don't ever stop it. 20-something-year-old lost man sees his wife doing something that the Bible says to do and what God promises he'll do when you do it. Came to Christ at 27. Life absolutely totally changed. Always a great guy. He became a greater guy. And I just want to just say to you today, I want to close with this. Stand with me right now. I want to close with this. I want to say to you, this all, listen to me, this all only makes sense when we get to the first point. Would you set that first point up? Can you do that real quick? The first point is we've got to believe that our God values us, cares for us, and will always provide for us. If you don't get that, you won't get anything else. And you'll hold on to whatever you can hold on to as hard, and you'll count all that you got. And I just want to just encourage you today to flow with this word today and watch God work in every area of your life. Okay? I want to say a quick prayer for the what's going to be happening on this property this week, today, and that's 55 single moms coming with their children and you ministering to them today. So I want to pray for you. And then also next week we have the Tarleton football team and volleyball team coming and staff. And so there's going to be some places marked off, so you may not be able to sit where you usually sit, but will you be okay with it? Amen? We'll be okay with it, okay? And so if your section's roped off, you'll reap what you sow, okay? You'll reap what you sow. This is a great opportunity. We'll be feeding them afterwards, just as something that I've been asking to do because they do this every year in churches. And so I just really want to ask that you be praying about that. And then pray about our celebration Sunday, the Sunday after, when we talk about all the things God's been doing cross-culturally. As Schmitz, it's good to see you back from Turkey. And they're here for a month, and so we're really grateful. So. You heard from the Bentleys, who's back from China, and we're just grateful for that we're all together for a season. So let's pray for these things. Lord, I just pray for Spotty today. I pray that what we sow today into these ladies' lives, as they talk, as our women share, as men wash cars and vacuum cars, as we serve, we'll see this, Lord, as sowing bountifully. And I ask, God, that we would see a great harvest today like never before. Lord, I pray for Kathy Burke on the square, Lord, as she probably will tend to some 60 kids today. Just ask that you'd bless her with the help that she has. Pray that you'd bless Jeanette and all the workers. And Lord, if there's anyone here that could just say, yeah, I'll give my time today. At the last minute, I pray that, Lord, that you would do that. They would do that. I pray for this Tarleton football team that's coming next week. I want to pray, God, that they would see the love of Christ in this body. That's it. Let's see love. And I pray that we would sow love in a very significant way. And then our celebration Sunday would just be that. It would be a celebration of what you're doing. And I want to thank you for it. Thank you for what you will do. All right. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance towards you and give you peace right now, right here. May he bless all that you do this week. May the blessings of Deuteronomy 28 be yours in the name of Jesus, so that we might believe that he is a God of gain and not lack. In the name of Jesus, amen.